Are you standing at a crossroad, wondering which road you should take? And you're dreading the decision and the possible mistake. But the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can keep you, and you will never be out of His care. Remember that the Lord's already there. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are.
You are waiting to hear thunder and see lightning in the sky. Oh, but God can work His wonders through a still small voice inside.
So keep listening and learning and continue on the journey, just following the one who is the way.
Who is the way?
Oh, He's the only road you need to take. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find He's never too far from wherever you are.
Any all that well, but he's actually been around for almost a year, not quite, but almost a year, helping with the Spanish teenagers upstairs, and he's been a big help to Brother Abraham. He's a senior at Providence. He's studying pastoral theology, and what I appreciate about him, he's got a heart for people, and you know, he just wants to serve the Lord, and so make him feel at home, say amen, encourage him along, but Brother Danny, come on up.
Alrighty, well, it's a privilege to be here under the ministry of Pastor Angel, that's for sure. I've been there, this is my fourth year now, like Brother Mick said, and Pastor Angel is my homiletics teacher. He teaches me how to preach. Now I'm preaching in this church, and I would never think that would happen. And a little bit about me, I'm from North Carolina. I'm in a little town called Selma. I grew up in Beacon Baptist Church in the Spanish ministry of Pastor Rudy Aldana, with English pastor, his pastor, Tim Rabin. And we were there to about, I was about 12 years old. My dad was a deacon there. We were involved in the bus ministry. My dad was a preacher with the kids for over 10 years. And then from there, God moved us to a town about 15 minutes from where we live. And we were there in Smithfield, North Carolina for about 5 years. and we were there and helped the ministry there, helped it grow. And then God moved us again to another small building up church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, about probably an hour and a half away from Raleigh. And we were there 2 years until God finally opened the door for my dad to start a ministry in our hometown. And it had been the burden of my dad to start a ministry in our hometown. Our hometown is probably 30% Hispanic, and there's not one independent fundamental Baptist church. And so we've been there now 2 years, and it's growing, and God's blessing. And it's my senior year, and I can't wait to see what God has in store for me. I'm just open to God's will. And now I'm here. My sister's freshman year also, my girlfriend and Andrea. I'm glad they can join me today. And also Taylor Bruner says hi. She works in the kitchen with my girlfriend and Andrea. She told you guys to say hi. So, all right. So if you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we'll all stand for the reverence of God's word. We're going to read chapters 42 through 49. Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 49. I'm going to read the first 42, and then we all together read 43, and we'll all finish on verse 49. Amen? Amen. Amen. It says, verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, and they returned, to the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been with the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Verse 49, And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wouldst ye not know that I must be about my father's business? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity of preaching your word, Lord. I know I don't deserve to be here, but thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation on the cross, Lord. I pray that you be with us tonight. Give me the words to preach your word, and I pray that we give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. I pray all this in your perfect, holy, and powerful name. Amen. You may be seated. We don't know a lot about Jesus Christ in his childhood. We see in Luke 2 how he was born, how he was dedicated. Then we see Simeon and Anna prophecy here. And then we jump to when Jesus Christ is 12 years old. We don't know a lot about his childhood, but we are given this story when Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem during the Passover as a custom of the feast. We see here a passage in when Joseph and Mary lose track of Jesus for just a few days. Now I want to look back. And now in our Christian lives, our human lives, we ask ourselves wondering sometimes, where is Jesus? Where is he in our lives? And I want to say two things first. Why did we lose him? Why as Christians, why do we sometimes lose track? Why do we lose Jesus Christ as a priority in our lives? And let's look at verse 43. Let's jump right in at number one. It says here, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Jesus tarried behind him Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. In our lives, you go through our routine, our work, our school, our relationships. In college, I know some of you guys have passed through there. Well, your day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. You wake up, you get ready, you do your devotions, you go to school at 8 o'clock. You go from school from 8 to 12:30. After that, you have a quick lunch, you go to your room, you change, you go to work, you come back, you eat at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And then you go to sleep, and it starts over. And that's 4 years straight, sometimes five or six. And thankfully, I'm not one of those. I'll be four and done. But and all of a sudden, sometimes as parents, you're dealing with the kids, or you're going to work, and then you have to come home and do the chores your wife left you. And I know my dad always says, Dad, son, we got to go outside. We got to cut the grass. We got to go fix this because your mom told us to. You know, okay. But and our lives all of a sudden become a blur. We get intertwined with our relationships, with doing this and doing that and serving here and doing that. And we see that all of a sudden we sometimes lose track of where Jesus Christ is in our lives. And then we see here Joseph and Mary, had left Jerusalem, and they supposed that Jesus was with them when he wasn't. In our lives, we see that we go through our lives routines, and we fail to acknowledge that Jesus isn't with us. We don't have that walk we should have. We are in communion with him. And you know what? They wouldn't have lost him if they would have been walking with Jesus the whole time. You know, in a huge crowd, they were all leaving, and I think about it. Sometimes we go to the zoo with a family or teenagers, and it doesn't take a lot of people to lose track of someone in the crowd. But you know what? Jesus had stayed back in Jerusalem, and Joseph and Mary had lost track of him. But they wouldn't have lost him if they had been walking with him. We need to have Jesus in front, in our sight, a walk with him in order not to lose him. We need to see the importance of having a walk with Jesus Christ. We need to have a priority. I know we hear it every Sunday. We hear it every Wednesday night. We hear it in TNT. We hear it in junior church. We hear it there. We hear that. But sometimes it just sometimes become numb to a seasoned Christian. We become numb to it. We become numb to a walk with Jesus Christ. We read our Bible and we don't get anything out of it. We push it aside and we go with our day. We need to have a walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 44. And they, supposing him to have been with the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Number one, they weren't walking with Jesus. Number two, they were going with the crowd. Another reason we catch ourselves looking back for Jesus is because we go with the crowd. And Jesus was a 12-year-old boy. I know some mothers in here have 12-year-old boys. And it says here, and they went a day's journey. They hadn't seen Jesus for a whole day. Mom in here, if you don't see your 12-year-old boy for one whole day, I know you'd be worried. Now they say here, and they saw him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They were in a big group of people. He's somewhere in here. I know. Well, Jesus has to be in here. I mean, we're all leaving. We're all going with the crowd. I guess Jesus is with us. And sometimes us in our Christian lives, we go, we do things. We do it just because everyone else is doing it. But sometimes Jesus isn't there. Joseph and Mary left Jerusalem just like everyone else. They left supposing him to have been with the company. And in our Christian life, we suppose God is with us when he is not. Now, let me reiterate. We can't lose salvation, amen? Once we're saved, we're always saved. Once that blood of Jesus Christ saves us and we're heaven bound, there's ain't nothing that can change that. But you know what? There's Christians. There's human beings. They start off as a natural man. We're born into sin. We're no one teaches us how to lie. No one teaches us how to be greedy. But we're a natural man. But then we get saved. We become a spiritual man. We become a man. We become Christians that have the Holy Spirit inside us. We start to grow spiritually. We start to eat of the meat of the Word of God. We start to grow. We start to teach our family. We start to disciple. But then again, we have the carnal man. A man that never grows spiritually. Sometimes we're a babe in Christ and we start to grow and we get discouraged. And we fall back down to a carnal man. That's why we have a lot of carnal Christians in our churches today. We catch ourselves doing things, making decisions, and at the end we question ourselves, where is God in this? Sometimes we see family members or people in the church wanting to make decisions. They're going to move to another city. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And they don't take into account that they're just going with the crowd. They're doing what they want. And they don't have that priority of turning back for Jesus and putting him first. We need to look in our lives circumspectly, being cautious that God is with us. And for us not to go with the crowd. That's the easy thing. You know, it's easy. It's easy. I know, guys, I grew up in church. I grew up in one of the biggest churches in North Carolina for Spanish people. And I see how many of our teenagers and the young kids, we grow up in church and we do this just because all the kids in our church are doing it. And you know what? That's not what God wants. God wants us to follow this, life's instruction book. And what do we do when we stray from God, from what God wants? Well, it's easy. Look at verse 45, number 3. And they found him not, and they, what? Turned back. Again to Jerusalem. What does that last two words say there? Seeking him. They turned back, seeking him. Once Joseph and Mary realized that Jesus wasn't with them, they turned back, seeking him. In our lives, we need to look back, seeking him again. Amen. Sometimes, I know it's easy. Sometimes, I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. You guys are the ones who love God because you love church because you come Sunday morning. You love your pastor because you come Sunday night. And some of you love God because you come all three services on Wednesday too. But sometimes I know we catch ourselves and we think we don't need to fix anything in our lives. We have a little sin, but we push it aside. But as Christians, we become prideful and we think we can do it ourselves. We think we're auto-sufficient, but we aren't. We need to turn back to Jesus in all we do. He's the one who died for you, amen? Are you not saved today? We need to turn back for him. We need to acknowledge him in everything that we do. But when Joseph and Mary came back to Jesus Christ, look how they returned. Verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. When we get out of God's will, when we aren't walking with Jesus, we become sorrowful. Sometimes, well, it reminds me of my dad had always taught my sister and I to swim since we were a little kid. We had a little kiddie pool, and we paddle, and we wouldn't go anywhere, but you know we could stand up. But my dad would teach us to swim, and every time he would go out in the ocean or at a lake or at a river, he'd always teach us, hey, if you start panicking, if you start feeling to drown, take a little time know what's going on, and then know where you need to go. Go to the nearest edge. It reminds me of a story of a couple of teenagers that you guys probably know, but I can't say their names because I might get in trouble. We went fishing one day, and we started fishing. It was a nice warm day. It was hardly anybody at the river, and there was a nice pool. And so, you know what, man, let's go for a dip. So we went in, and we knew there was a deep spot in the river. And I was on one edge. We were walking all three in line. It was three of us. I was here. There was another boy here and another teenager on the other side. Us two on the edge knew how to swim. The one in the middle didn't. And the water was about up to our waist. And we were walking, and I told the middle one, hey, it's going to get deep, okay? It's going to get deep. And he was like, okay, it's okay. We'll just float down. And the hole in the river wasn't probably about 4 feet wide and about 8 feet long. You know, I had already been in there. So we start getting there, and the water starts to rise up. And so we start floating, and the middle one starts to panic. I know some of you guys know that feeling of drowning. And he starts panicking, and I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. And he grabs the other teenager beside him and starts pulling him down and starts drowning him. And I'm like, oh, no, they're both, I'm dead. You know? And he starts pulling him down, and I grab him, and I pull him, and the other guy escapes. And then he starts drowning me. Now I'm really going to die. You know, he's pushing me down. He's pulling my hair. He's pulling my shirt down. And I'm struggling to get air. I can't do anything. And I just start swimming as far as I could. We're only a few feet from the edge. A few feet from where we could stand up. But he started panicking. He became, in the Spanish Bible, the word is angustiado. It literally means distressed. Joseph and Mary came back distressed. And sometimes in our Christian life, we come back to Jesus Christ distressed. We become sorrowful. We're panicking. And sometimes when we're panicking, we start to bring other Christians down with us. And slowly, that's what kills churches. I've seen churches where I've grown up, where there's teenagers that lose track of Jesus Christ, and they come back, and they're drowning, and they're sorrowful, and they drag other teenagers down with them. And it's sad, because they never come back up. And sometimes it's seasoned saints from the church. There's men in the church where I grew up in, several of them, that I've heard that on Saturday nights they go and have the Bud Lights and the Budweisers. Because they're sorrowful, they come back to Jesus Christ, they don't know how to return, but we blame God. It says here in verse 48, why hast thou dealt with us? Was it Mary's and Joseph's fault that they had lost track of Jesus Christ? Couldn't they have walked with him the whole way when they were about to leave Jerusalem? Couldn't they have said, wait, where's Jesus? We need to find Jesus before we leave. We need to humbly come back and seek him. If only Joseph and Mary had done what they were supposed to and kept the walk with Jesus in the first place, this wouldn't have happened. There's a story about a storm in Colorado. It says here, it's called Lost in Sight of Home. It says here, a few months ago, during one of the severe storms that visited Colorado, a young man perished in sight of home. In his bewilderment, he passed and repassed his own cottage to lie down and die almost in range with light in the window, which his young wife had placed there to guide him home. All alone, she watched all the night through, listening in vain for the footsteps that would never come. For long before the morning dawned, the icy touch of death had forever stilled the warm, loving heart. And the sad death was made still sadder by the fact that he was lost in sight of home. How many wanderers from the Father's house have lost in sight of home, has lost track of Jesus Christ in our lives, in full grace and in vision of the gospel light. How many people have come by this church, have sat in these pews, and have lost track of Jesus Christ, and have drowning other Christians with them, and they lose track of him. And they drown, and they're dying in just a few steps from the edge, just a few steps from where Jesus Christ is, just a few steps from salvation, just a few steps from the good members that can teach them the word, that can help them spiritually and grow. It's our job as Christians to go out there and reach. We have all these flags. It's missions conference next week. It's our job to go out there and reach those that are losing track of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have situations, maybe you have sin in your life that you know you should fix. Then maybe it's the smallest thing, but you know that's hindering you from reaching your full potential to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But where was Jesus? Where was Jesus the whole time? Let's look at verse 49. And when they sought him, and when he sent them to say, how is it that ye sought me? Would he not know that I must be about my Father's business? When we doubt, when we backslide, when we're struggling, in the fight, when we get discouraged, you know who we can trust in? We can trust in the one who knows tomorrow. We can trust in the one who died for us on the cross. We can trust in the one who gives us a Bible. We have a Bible here that we can turn back to. We have a Bible here that can show us every aspect of our lives. Hey, young person, you know what you should be doing? You should be turning to this book every day. Because one day you're going to be leaving it, and you're going to be trying to come back to it, and it's going to be even harder. Father, I know you, I know there's, I'm not a father, but you know. There's instruction in this book for every aspect of our lives. But the problem is, number one, we aren't walking with him like we should. I know. For me, it's been hard. Sometimes in college, the routine just gets you all out of whack, and I've missed a few days of Bible reading. I'm sure some of you have too. I'm not perfect. I don't deserve to stand here and preach. But you know what? I want to do what God wants. But we're going with the crowd. We're distressed. Me, I like I said, I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher with the kids, with junior church, and I got saved at the age of 4. I was on my bed, and I remember, I was laying on my bed, and I was about to go to sleep, and I started crying. I was scared, because I didn't know where I was going to go when I died, and I didn't want to go to hell, and I went to my parents that night, and they showed me how to be saved. But you know what? I always regarded that as my salvation testimony. But sometimes my grandma passed away this past January, the first death in the family, and it was hard. And I think about her every day. And sometimes we go through our life. It's my senior year. My mind is going this way. I want to do this. I want to do that. What's going to happen within the next few months? And I was slacking. And I throughout my college life, career, I had doubted God. I was doubting my salvation. And July 1st, just 2 months ago, I was on my way back home. And I knew I needed to turn back to Jesus. I know I had already preached this message before I had made this decision. And on July 1st, I was driving back home. You know what? I was thinking of my grandma. I was thinking of all the souls that I had led to the Lord. And I was thinking of, where am I really going to go to heaven? You know what? I didn't want to doubt. I didn't want to come to Jesus Christ sorrowful. And that night on July 1st, I had assurance of my salvation. And man, it was a weight lifted off my shoulders. And I know maybe some of you are in here that need to turn back to Jesus today. I know in some aspect of your life, a dad, I know you, maybe you know you shouldn't be doing something, and or you need to be doing something that you're not, and you need to turn back to Jesus in that aspect of your life. Or maybe mother, you know you shouldn't be doing things, or you're not doing the things you're supposed to. But we don't want to come back to Jesus Christ sorrowing. We don't want to become distressed. We don't want to die just a few steps with the light in the window, with salvation so close. But it's sad, because that's where many Christians are going today. I've seen teenagers who I grew up with, my sister can attest. My dad, when he was a pastor in junior church, he was there almost 10 years. We saw kids that grew up and left and died in gang shootings. And I'm not talking about bus kids. I'm talking about kids that sat on the front row. I'm talking about kids that got up and were singing in junior church and were up there and singing outside, inside, of that song. And we're talking about kids that had strayed from the word of Jesus Christ, that had strayed from the book, that had strayed from everything that they knew just for a moment of pleasure. The girls that had left just because a guy out in the street had told them a few sweet words. The men in the church who had left their wives just because they got bored. Women in the church who left their whole family behind. It's sad because they know this word. They know the Bible. They know what it is to serve in church. They know what Jesus Christ gave on the cross, and they throw it all away. And many times us as Christians, we take what Jesus did for us and in vain. We do things half-heartedly. But meaning as Christians today, it is our obligation, it is our duty to come back to Jesus, to do what we're supposed to do, to obey this book, to follow our pastor, to follow God, to reach people, and to do what we're supposed to do. We need to turn back to Jesus in our lives and involve ourselves in the work of Christ in every aspect of our lives. There's a lot at stake. Our marriages, our future children, our future generations, and the millions of souls that we could impact. Where is Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais going to be in 10 years? Is it going to be able to fit in this auditorium? I hope not. Where is Faith Baptist Church going to be in 50 years? Are we going to have an auditorium twice this size? Why not? Where is Faith Baptist Church going to be in 100 years? Hopefully heaven. Amen. But you know what? I am nobody. I know I'm not perfect. And I know you're not either. But we need to turn back to Jesus Christ today. We need to make decisions. A Christian life without decisions is a dead Christian life. Every time, if Preacher Gomez has said this before, he came to the altar if the message had spoken to him, and he came to the altar if the message didn't, because he knew he needed to fix something in his heart. And many of us need to fix stuff in our heart tonight. I know I'm just a Mexican kid from the outskirts of North Carolina, from the outskirts of a little town. I'm just doing what I know. I grew up in the ministry, like many of you have here. But we need to turn back. It's easy to stray. Like many of you know, it's easy to stray. Many of you have strayed and have came back to Jesus Christ. And many of you guys have came back sorrowing. But Jesus is all merciful. Amen. And Jesus is all good. And he's giving. Amen. And he's loving. And you can come back today and seek him. And you know what? Where he's at? He's in the temple. He's at church. He's with his people. He's where the word of God is. Church, are you turning back to Jesus today? Do you need to turn back to Jesus today? Are you having a prideful spirit? Are you a carnal Christian? We need to turn back to Jesus today. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I wasn't long, but thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word, and I pray that you be with us tonight, Lord. I pray that you speak to hearts today and that we make decisions today to honor and glorify you, Lord. In your name I pray.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, that was a very good message. It's a very challenging message. You know, we don't demand that God comes with us wherever we go. although he did say he would never leave us nor forsake us, but we need to get where Jesus is at. And it's very easy to just go through the motions and expect him to show up. When we haven't spent any time with him, it's not going to happen. And maybe that's just a wake-up call for us tonight. And, you know, if we're going to be fully consecrated, we need to get back in his word, get walking with him again. Got to look at our lives and see if maybe we've drifted away a little bit. I wonder if there's anyone in here that says, Brother Mick, something that was preached today spoke to my heart. Just lift your hand up as a testament to that. I'll pray, and then as the piano plays, we'll stand. And if you need to do business at the altar, you can come. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd please be at this invitation time now. I pray, Lord, that you'd please do a work in our hearts. Lord, help us to seal the decisions that we need to make. In your name we pray. As the piano plays, let's all stand. And if you need to come to the altar, why don't you do that?